You know, more than anything else, when we pray, when we worship, we want to connect with God. We want to experience God's power and presence and life, and we want to experience everything about Him. We want to be consumed with who He is in us, through us, with us. And I want to tell you something. We have a way to do that. Because of the Lord Jesus, we always have access to the presence of God. The fact that He's in us and the fact that He's with us always assures that when we approach Him by faith, we can experience His presence that's there. Listen, today we're going to be talking about abiding in His name. We're going to talk about how that affects your prayer life. And again, this is going to be a quantum leap for many of you, because you're going to step up into a whole new dimension of prayer, a whole new dimension of faith, a whole new dimension of God that you've never experienced before. And I'll tell you, when you do, everything changes about connecting to God, about prayer, about intercession, about worship. You know, sometimes when I hear people pray, I think, do you not think God is already doing that? Do you not think God is already putting effort in that? You know, sort of like when we pray for the lost. It's like, Lord, speak to Bob, speak to Uncle so-and-so. Do you think God's not already trying to speak to him? There are so many ways that basically our prayer life is just a bunch of vain repetition, asking God to do something that he's already doing. Let me tell you, God cares more about the lost than we do. As a matter of fact, God cares more about everything about us than we do. You know, when Jesus was asked about prayer, one of the things that he told, one of the very first things out of his mouth was, basically, don't waste your time praying for things that God already knows that you need. Now, you see, we waste most of our prayer time begging God to give us things that the truth is He already knows that we need them. And if we were following Him and if we were using our authority as believers, we'd be finding these things. They'd be manifesting in our real life. You know, the Bible talks about the fact that in the pathway of life, there is no death. When we are following the Lord Jesus Christ, we are walking down this pathway of life. And the real truth is, we find all the things that we need along this pathway. We don't have to beg God to give them to us, and we don't have to waste our prayer life to get, you know, to get God to move on us. In Matthew 6, verse 7, Jesus was speaking. He said this, when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathens do, for they think they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask Him. In this manner, therefore, pray. And then He taught us how to pray. So we don't have to pray for the things that we need. You know, God knows that your bills are due. You might need peace for what you're facing. You might need wisdom for what you're facing. You might need to know the next step for what you're facing, but I promise you this, whatever the need is, God has already met the need in Jesus, and the key is to follow Him in that process. So when Jesus taught us how to pray, basically, He started out by saying, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Now listen, this was basically a bare bones outline. This was not just a prayer to recite. He just got through saying, vain repetitions don't get your prayers answered. This is not about just reciting what we call the Lord's Prayer. This is about aspects of prayer that we should be aware of and that we should be employing if we want to connect to God in a realistic way. And it really starts out by making His name holy to you. And the word holy or hallowed means to sanctify, to set apart, to make it special and holy to you. You know, so many times we come to God, I don't mean this to sound crude, because, you know, God was the one that compared a man knowing his spouse to us knowing God. It's the exact same Greek word in the comparisons. Really, when the Bible teaches in the book of Ephesians, the fifth chapter, about husbands and wives, at the end of that, he says, I'm really talking about the church and our relationship with Jesus, even though this applies to husbands and wives. But you see, many times our prayer life is sort of like the man that comes home from work and he just wants to run in and take his wife to the bedroom, have sex with her. There's no romance. There's no kissing. There's no loving. There's no talking. There's no communication. I just want my needs met. Then I'm going to run away. Man, that's got to be kind of heartbreaking for God. You see, Jesus said, always come to God from this perspective of sanctifying or making holy His name. Now, His name's already holy. You can't make it any more holy than it is. But you know what you can do? You can make His name holy to you. And I tell you what else you can do. You can magnify his name. You can make his name bigger. You can make his presence bigger. Because as you begin to meditate on, acknowledge, and ponder and consider and worship the name of the Lord, I want you to know that you begin to experience his name, who he is in respect to his name, in a whole new dimension. And we mentioned this last week. You know, when Jesus fed the 5,000, the Bible tells us that he was tempted in every way like as we are. This means that when he was standing up there looking at those thousands of people, 5,000 men plus women plus children, he's standing up there looking at 10, 20,000 people with just a few baskets of and loaves of bread and fish. I got to tell you, if he's tempted every way just like I am, he had to have looked out there and he had to have questioned or felt this wave of trepidation that said, you know, here's the need. Here's my resources. And I'm going to tell you something. You get to looking at your resources, and when your resources don't match the need, something in you says, oh, no, we're in trouble. And here's what we know that Jesus did. The Bible says Jesus looked up into heaven, and the Greek, it says he recovered sight. You see, our problem is we try to work off of formulas. We try to work off of vain repetitions. We think we can tack the name of Jesus onto the end of our prayers without connecting with God in our heart. Remember, everything about God is about the heart. God's not going to relate to us in any shape, form, or fashion that is not coming through and manifesting in our heart. If it doesn't manifest first in our heart, it's not going to manifest anywhere else in our life. And so, we want to connect with God first and foremost in our heart. So Jesus looks up. He has to recover sight. I want to tell you something. Jesus recovers sight in a matter of seconds or minutes. And you know what? When you walk with God and when you have a prayer life and when you're connected with God, when the presence of God is familiar to you and you recognize the presence of God, you might just connect with his presence in a matter of minutes. But you know what? For people who have magnified the problem, it could take a little while. It's not, you know, the length of time that you pray or the length of time that you worship, there's nothing holy about it, but you just want to realize that what determines the length of time you put into praise and worship before you connect with God is just all about how much awareness you have of his presence. Now listen to this. Psalm 140 verse 13 says this, "Surely the righteous shall give thanks to your name, and the upright, the straight, those who make the way straight, they shall dwell in your presence." I'm not saying that this is strictly what this passage of Scripture means. And I, you know, remember this. The Holy Spirit is more interested in showing you what a Scripture means to you than he is what the right interpretation of that Scripture is. Because the Holy Spirit is all about making the Word come alive to us. The Holy Spirit is all about helping us to implement God's truth. So don't ever try to make doctrine out of what God is showing you. That's incredibly idealistic, and the truth is it's incredibly self-righteous. You know, I hear people all the time, I'll see them on Facebook, or I hear preachers say, you know, well, you know, when somebody says, for me, they might be going to a good place. They might just be giving an example. But so many times when somebody says, well, for me, what they're saying is, this is the way I experience it. This means this is the only legitimate way to experience. So I'm just telling you that God spoke to me from this scripture one day, and what he spoke to me helped me. I'm not saying this is the absolute interpretation, but here's what he spoke to me to help me in my praise and worship. "Surely the righteous shall give thanks to your name, and the upright shall dwell in your presence." And God spoke to me one morning and said, you dwell in the presence of the name that you acknowledge. In other words, if I'm acknowledging the name of Jehovah Rophi, the Lord God, my healer, then the probability is that that puts me in a position to experience the presence of God, my healer. It's highly unlikely that what I'm worshiping God as my healer, that I'm going to experience God, my provider. Now, I understand he's all the same God, but you in my heart. And so, And so what I realize is that there's something that happens when we know the name of God, when we connect to the names of God. There's something incredible that happens. You know, Psalm 20, verse 7 says, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of our Lord. I want to tell you something. I when I'm in trouble, I acknowledge the name of Jehovah, my banner. The Lord God is my banner. The Lord God is my shield. The Lord God is my protector. The Lord God is my high tower. As a matter of fact, Proverbs 18 says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run to it and are safe. Well, number one, you got to know the name of the Lord. You got to know and believe in the name of the Lord as your protector, as your high tower, as your shield, as your buckler. But then the key thing is you got to run to it. How do you run to it? Well, that's what Jesus was telling us. Jesus was saying, make his name sanctified. Make his name hallowed. Make his name holy. Magnify his name so that before you even begin to talk to God about anything else, that you have experienced him through his name. You know, in the Old Testament, the concept of sanctification, it basically had two basic concepts. Number one, there was physical or geographic sanctification, where you set yourself apart physically from your work, from other people, from every other situation. And when you set yourself apart, basically you're alone because you want to be away from everything else so you can focus all of your attention on God. But then the word sanctification also has to do with emotional sanctification, or the setting apart of your inner man, where inwardly you are setting yourself apart. You're setting your thoughts and you're setting your feelings apart. And this is a meditative process. You know, in my book, Moving Your Invisible Boundaries, where we talked about the heart, and basically I think it's the primer for what the Bible teaches us about the heart. In this book, I taught you and I shared with you the fact that in the Old Covenant, every time you see the word prayer, the word worship, the word vision, the word prophecy, any of the praise, any of these words, you're always going to see one of the words that implies some type of meditation, some type of reflective, contemplative, meditative experience with God. See, there's really no concept of worshiping God and just using your mouth. That's just vain repetition. Jesus rebuked people for that in the Gospels. We want to engage our heart. He said, you don't want just your lips and your words close to them. You want to be close to him in your heart. So when Jesus starts talking about sanctifying the name of the Lord, this is a meditative process where as you're acknowledging his name, as you're singing his name, as you're saying his name, you want to turn that inwardly into something that you experience by creating pictures or feelings or concepts or thoughts or ideas or imaginations about what that means to you personally, not just what that means in a general sense. See, Jesus said life comes when we know God. And that word know means to experience with every capacity in our being that we have to experience something. So Jesus said, listen, you want to pray in a way that first and foremost you connect, you separate yourself from everything else and you get connected with God. You know, I tell this story a lot, how that when we built our first building for Impact Ministries, we built it on my personal property that my house was on. And so basically, you know, I signed the note and we donated part of our property to the ministry and started building. Well, before long, you know, we're $400,000+ in debt. And this was back in the 80s when the savings and loan crisis came, and the savings and loans, they all crashed and closed up, and we couldn't get money to finance our property. And so we had a construction loan, and we owed $400,000+ on it, and we had lost our long-term financing. I want to tell you something. I don't even know how many contractors filed contractors' liens or mechanic liens against me, because I couldn't pay for the work that they had done. And I wasn't the only church that did this. There were churches all over America that were going through this same struggle. And I tell you, I had guys showing up threatening to beat me up. And of course, people were threatening to sue me, all this kind of stuff. So I would get up in the morning, like, God, what do I do? I tell you, the Lord spoke to me and he said, you don't face anybody. You don't make a decision until you have communed with me and you are at peace. Man, I tell you, I'd get up and go downstairs. I had a grand piano downstairs in my living room that somebody, I was storing for somebody. I'd get up every morning. I'd go down and sit down at that piano. I'd just start worshiping and praying. Some days I'd worship for 5 minutes and the peace of God would manifest. Why? Because I connected to Him inwardly. I was able to overcome all the imaginations and fear about everything that was going to go wrong. And I was able to sanctify the Lord in my heart. And sometimes, you know what? It'd be 2 or 3 hours. Sometimes I just didn't go out of my house that day because the Lord spoke to me. Don't make a single decision until you are at peace, until you're fully connected with me. I want to tell you something. That's what Jesus was trying to say when He was teaching us in the model prayer. Connect with God. Sanctify God in your own heart before you talk to God about anything else. Experience the presence of His name. And let me tell you something. And I'll talk about this in the mentoring moment at the end of this message. You want to pray in a way that builds identity and self-worth. You want to pray in a way that connects you to not just the promises of God, but to who God is and to who you are in Him. And I'm going to come back to that in a few minutes. I'm going to read Psalm 91, and I'm probably going to read maybe the whole psalm because this is just so incredibly important. Listen to this. Psalm 91 says this, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." I want to tell you something. This is metaphorically talking about connecting with God in an intimate way. This is talking about finding this place in God that is not just every day, you know. Now, all of this is available to God. You know, some of these people have lost their minds, and because something is given to us freely in Jesus, they think, well, everybody automatically has it. No, there's a difference between having something and experiencing something. You know, everybody's got a wife or a husband that's married, but that doesn't mean they experience love. It doesn't mean they experience connection. It doesn't mean they experience being one. And just because we have something in God doesn't mean we experience. This is metaphoric about us entering into God. You know, the Bible tells us that the counsel of God, the secret counsel of God, belongs to those who are upright and who know Him. Doesn't mean that He's not offering counsel to everybody, but it means that those who listen and those who are committed to following Him, they hear what other people won't hear. They're not willing to hear. So it's talking about the shadow of the Almighty, entering into this place. I believe this is what Jesus was talking about. Listen, it says, "I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust." Let me ask you something. What do you think about when you read that psalm? You see, these psalms, this is what I did with the prayer organizer, and I pretty much developed this out of these psalms. I would take these psalms, and I would pray these psalms. I would imagine and experience what would this really look like if I was really experiencing it. So, He's my refuge. He's my fortress. Listen to this, verse 3. "Surely He shall," and I'd always personalize this, "surely He has delivered me from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He has covered me with His feathers, and under His wings I take refuge, and His truth shall be my shield and my buckler, and I shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at my side, 10,000 at my right hand, but it shall not come near me. Only with my eyes shall I look and see the reward of the wicked." You see, we want to be personally communing with God, personally acknowledging back to God that we accept His truth as our reality. And we want to create some kind of concept, some type of inner experience, some type of inner awareness of what this means personally to us in the situation that we're in right now. And you see, that's where we get our heart involved. That's what Jesus was talking about. He said, start your prayer with "Hallowed be Thy name." Sanctify the name of the Lord. Now listen, this is verse 9. "Because you have made the Lord," and that's how I would personalize that, "because I have made the Lord, who is your refuge, even the Most High, my dwelling place, no evil shall befall me, neither shall any plague come near my dwelling." Now, this was a scripture that Jesus claimed for His own life, but we can claim it for our life because we're in Him. It says, "For He has given His angels charge over me to keep me in all my ways. In their hands they shall bear me up, lest I dash my foot against a stone. I shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent I shall trample underfoot." Now, let me see, when you quote these scriptures, if you're, you know, here's what's interesting. If you quote these scriptures to God, we know biologically that blood supply and neurological activity starts in a part of our brain that happens when we talk to a friend. And we know that science shows us that the Christian faith is pretty much, as far as I know, the only group of people in the world that when they pray, this part of their brain lights up and they have the experience of being with a friend. Because this is not like just vague meditation, positive affirmations, are praying to an impersonal God. This is connecting to our Father. So what is it you see? What is it you experience when you read these words of the Psalm? Do you personalize them? Do you make them real? Do you make them about you? Because remember, every promise that God has ever made to anyone is yes for you. So all of these promises I'm reading, not only they're yes for you, but you need to make them for you before you ever talk to God about anything else. He says, and then I quote verse 14, personalize it, because I have set my love upon you. Therefore, you always deliver me. You always set me on high because I have known your name. Isn't that interesting? These promises are contingent upon knowing and experiencing and sanctifying and making hallowed the name of the Lord. Now, what's amazing is under the new covenant, all these promises are given to everyone. Anybody can have this. It's not that you're earning this, but you're experiencing this because you're magnifying the name of the Lord. Listen to this. And see, I'm turning this around because in this psalm, God is speaking this, so I'm making it personal. I shall call upon you, and you will answer me. You will be with me in trouble. You will deliver me and honor me. With long life, you will satisfy me and show me your salvation or your Yeshua or your Jesus. I'll tell you something. Man, you take these psalms and you personalize them and you make them present tense and you connect personally with God, something's going to change in you. I can't tell you how many mornings when I was facing this financial disaster that I was in. I can't tell you how many mornings back when I was struggling for my life from a kidney disease. I can't tell you how many times when I came back from the mission field with some disease that should have killed me, how many times I would just connect with God. I'd have that moment where I could sense my heart changing inside me, my heart coming alive to God Almighty. Suddenly, I had recovered sight. Now, I was ready to bless or establish the kingdom or speak into existence those things that God had promised us. You know what? If your heart's not alive with the presence of God, there's no sense in trying to pretend like you're speaking faith. There's no sense in trying to pretend like you're going to say something that's going to come to pass. There's no sense in acting like this is going to work because it's really, really not. You're just really deceiving yourself. But I want to tell you something. When you experience the name of the Lord, you experience His presence based on that name. And when you experience that presence, then you can speak it into existence. Listen, I'll be back in a few minutes with a mentoring moment. I want to share something really personal with you. You know, one of the things I want you to always do, I want you to learn how to pray in a way that builds your self-worth. And the way that happens is by establishing your identity in Christ through your prayer life. You know, one of the most destructive things you can do to your self-worth is to try to become. One of the most destructive things you can do to your heart is to pray in such a way that you're acknowledging that you don't have something. In other words, like when you're asking God to give you healing, what you're really doing, you're acknowledging to God that you don't have healing, which means you don't believe in the finished work of Jesus. So you always want to pray in a way that focuses in on what you already have, who God is, and who you are. You're not just trying to get a bunch of promises. And I'll tell you, that's one of the places people make mistakes. In their prayer life, they're not connecting to God personally. So the first thing I want you to do is always make sure you are directing your prayers to God personally. If you're quoting scripture, if you're using a prayer organizer, if you're using anybody else's tools, you always personalize them. And it's I and it's you. It's not us and him. And then, you see, I always like to take the names of God. And based on God being a healer, then I'm going to get scriptures that promises healing. Based on God being Jehovah who is present, I want scriptures that promise that I have access to His presence. So I'm always going to connect the name of God to the promises of God, and then I'm going to worship and acknowledge in such a way that because I am in Jesus, I am, I have, and I can. So what's happening, you see, our identity is intimately linked to the identity of our Creator. We become like the God that we believe in. So as we're acknowledging the names of God, acknowledging the promises of God that are connected to that name, acknowledging that in Jesus that is ours, and acknowledging who we are in Jesus. In other words, you know, I don't just have peace. I'm a man of peace, and I acknowledge that. See, God's the God of hope. Father, I thank you that you are the God of hope, and I thank you that in every situation you show me that there's a way, because I am a man of hope. I am filled with your hope. In other words, I'm always acknowledging who I have, who I am, and what I have. I want to tell you something. When you pray in a way that affects your identity and connects it to God's identity, the promises happen in your life effortlessly.